matter is that instead of just saying on Vayeshev, I wasn't here last week, and Vayishvach, I think there's a lot of ksharim between the latter part of Parshas Vayishvach to Vayeshev, and we'll try to put together a tremendous yesod, something very, very important that comes out of these parshas. Number one, it bothered me last week that Yaakov was called Yisrael. It, like, it was a development. There was two kriyos Hashem. The first one was when the Sar Shel Esav said that Hashem will call him Yisrael. And then, after the story of Dinah, we have again that Hashem calls him Yisrael. And you never have such a thing. One time should be sufficient. Why is there two kriyas Hashems? One, the anticipation that you're going to be called Yisrael, and then Hashem is like the Makkah v'Patish, finishes off that your name Vayikra Shemo Yisrael. Very schwer. Why two? Secondly, you have to understand, I asked a lot of people in America, why the need for the story of Dinah? Why? What do you need it for? First of all, it's not a great story for us. And secondly, what is it coming to teach you as far as the Torah is concerned? There's a story like that, and she got messed up, and then the children came and they complained. What's going on here? What do you need that story in Sefer Bereishis? What is it coming to teach you? Very schwer. Then, at the end of the story of Dinah, you have a dialogue between Yaakov and Shimon Belevi, his sons. Yaakov says, "Rabbi Shemi Baritz, you have shamed me in this land. People thought I was a big person and a holy person, and now it's a tremendous chol Hashem, what you did to me by killing out this whole city and the way you did it." And then he adds on, "And now it's a sakana. They're all going to gang up against us and kill us. So it's Sakonis Nefashis as well." What did they answer? Hachizono Yaset Achoseinu, which Rashi says the word gizono over here means hefker, you're going to make our sister hefker? But how does that answer the question? What do you mean? It's like a bully. What are they talking? Hachizono Yaset Achoseinu. But once again, it's Sakonis Nefashis. You're putting yourself into Sakonis Nefashis. Can't you think straight? Why? How could you do such a thing? And also, you're defaming my name. How'd you do such a thing? Good, a bad thing was done to Dinah, but what's done is done. So now you're going to do something that can endanger our lives? What's pshat in these stories? Okay, that's the first thing. That deals with Parshas Vayeshev, but once again, we have to understand what are these two things. Secondly, at the end of Parshas Vayishlach, that was sort of the boring part of last week's parsha, which is very difficult on a Balkaire. The whole lineage, ancestry of Esav, his children and the Aluf and this and that. And then you discuss also about B'nai Seir, because Timnah, who is a daughter-in-law and a who knows what of Esav, came from Seir, so you have to discuss her lineage also. And then the eight Melochim, the eight kings, that was set up in Eretz Edom. What do you need that for? I mean, Esav is such a star over here that you have to discuss everything that happened to him. Why this whole end of Parshas Vayishlach? And more so, what does it have to do with Parshas Vayeshev? What is the kesher between the end of Parshas Vayishlach to the Mechiras Yosef, the whole story of Parshas Vayeshev? What does one have to do with the other? We know we read in the Haftarah last Shabbos and Haftarah of Vayishlach of Avadya, and Rashi brings it on three occasions in Bereishis, when Yosef was born, and the first Rashi in this week's parasha, and another time the pasuk in Avadya, which says V'hoya Beis Yaakov Eish, and the Beis Yaakov will be like fire, U'Beis Yosef Rahova, and the house of Yosef will be like a flame, U'Beis Esav Rakash, and the house of Esav will turn into, will be straw, the dokel behem, and they will light them like Eish, Vachalum, and they will destroy them. and there won't be any remnants to base Esau. And everybody asked the question, what? You need Yosef also? Yaakov? Is that enough with a fire to burn down base the cache of Esau? Why do you need the addition of Yosef? What's wrong with Beis Yaakov? That should be maspik. And Beis Yaakov is like a fire. A fire, when it meets with straw, burns it. So what is this lahava, that flame of Beis Yosef? What is that additional flame of Beis Yosef that without it, Esau will not be defeated? Very shmer. I have many, many answers to that. I'd like to offer one today that will fit in with our, with what we're going to say. Okay, in Parshas Vayeshev, it says in the beginning that Yosef was 17 years old, and he was the shepherd of the tzon, and v'hu ro esecho batzon, v'hu nar. It means that he was young. V'hu nar, espenei bilhov, espenei zilpon asheobid. Says Rashi two interpretations. One, v'hu nar, that he did maisa naros, like teenager things. A teenager, he has like a comb in his back pocket, constantly combing his hair. He was mesalso besaros. He would comb his hair. And the second thing is that he hung out with the underprivileged children of Bilhah and Zilpah, because they were b'nei shvachos, and they were told by the other brothers that you're lower than us. So he had tremendous sensitivities, and he was close to them, and he hung out with them to try to help them. So number one, what's this mice and aris? Obviously everybody asked, what is he doing combing his hair for? And secondly, why dafke he? You could say because he was a sensitive person, he had that midah of regishut, but why did dafke he hang out with b'nei Zilpah and b'nei Bilhah in order to pick them up, to encourage them, to give them somewhat of a good self-image? Then it says, Yaakov, Yisrael ahavas Yosef mikol banav. Yisrael loved Yosef from all the brothers. Why? Ki ben zikunim lo. Because he was the ben zikunim. And as a result of that, he made him a ksonas pasim. So ksonas pasim is very shmer to understand. Like the Gemara says, a father should never favor one son over the other. Look what happened by Yaakov when he made a ksonas pasim for Yosef. But what did Yaakov think? What did Yaakov think when he made him, from all the 12 children, he's making him only a beggar? Can you imagine if you have, let's say, four siblings at home, and dafka one of them gets the new beggar for Yontif? Can you imagine such a thing? How can you do such a thing? What was Yaakov's thinking at the time? And secondly, Ben Zikunim is very schwer. Number one pshat of Ben Zikunim is that he taught him all the Torah. Why did he dafka teach him all the Torah, not others? And also, the second pshat is Ben Zikunim, he was the youngest son. But he wasn't the youngest son. Who was the youngest son? Binyamin. And not only that, in a later parsha, next parsha, it says, Yelid Zikunim Katan. When you talk about Binyamin, whether we should take him to Mitzrayim or not, it says, Yelid Zikunim Katan. He was the Yelid Zikunim. So what are you calling Yosef here, or Ben Zikunim? And for whatever reason, he's Ben Zikunim. Maybe Binyamin was too young. What is the kesher of learning Torah? What does that have to bring down this inyan that he learned Torah with him? What does that have to do with Ben Zikunim? Then he has two chalomos. One is not enough. He has two chalomos. The first one with the sheaves, it's an inyan, hamaloch timloch aleinu. It says over there they hated him. Vayisnu also. By the second one, which are the sun and the moon and the 11 kochavim bowing down to Yosef, it says they were only jealous of him. It doesn't say over there about sinner. So the question is, why the first one cause? First of all, why do you need two chalomos? Always bothered me. And by Paro, you needed two to show that it's true. But over here, what do you need two chalomos? And secondly, why is the first one bringing on sinner, and the second one bringing on kinna, which means jealousy? Why? And what is it? What does it mean to us? What do these chalomos mean to us? Very shrek. Okay. The next three parshios, we're going to read a roller coaster story of Yosef Mamish making Meshuga his brothers with all types of activities. Go there, go here, go there. Mamish submitting them to the lowest level possible, being ma'ana them, punishing them. Whole two parshas, you're going to see after this parsha, Mikah and Vayigash, what's going on? What did he do it for? He was a mean person, Yosef HaTzadik. How do we understand these parshas? What's going on here? Secondly, what is the bone of contention really between Yosef and his brother? Are you going to tell me, like you learned in kindergarten, and they hated each other, siblings, rivalry, this one made himself bigger than the other ones, and therefore they hated him? It has to do, as we've said many, many times, it has to do something with Klal Yisrael. It's not just a fight between two individuals, and because I'm holding myself bigger, and I'm saying Lashon Hara to my father, all these things that came out. What's going on here? What's the bone of contention? What's the real machloikas over here? So the Briskers, they learn like the Sephardim in the Parsha, that it's really a machloikas in the Halacha, that they held that he was Chayav Misa because he was a Rodev. He was telling on to Yaakov, and he was going to cause them Misa, so before he caused them Misa, they killed him. And Yosef felt not that way. It's machloikas in Halacha, but from the Psukim, and you always felt that way, and when you read it, you'll feel it that way also. There's regesh, there's emotions involved over here. There must be a bigger bone of contention than just the way we've always learned it. And that's what I'm going to try to be mechadish today. What exactly was the machlokes between Yosef and his brothers? Okay. I have some more questions also. Let me just say one. We say on Yom Kippur, the Asara Haruge Malchus, the 10 great Tanoim that were killed by the Romans, and they were killed, says the Medrash, because of Mechiras Yosef. I think we even say it in the Slichas on Yom Kippur, that as a result of that fight between Yosef and his brothers, so as a result of that, our great 10 Gedolim were killed by the Romans. What does one have to do with the other? And once again, they represent Esav, so Esav is like killing us back, but so let's say he killed us back because we stole the brachos, or things like that. Why? Because of Bechiras Yosef, do you get to a thing that Asara Haruge Malchus? Very, very schwer. Okay, it's enough questions for today. I just want to give over your sod that I think means a lot and could explain all the parashios until the end of Vayechi. The Kriya Shem of Yaakov, Vayikra Eshemo Yisrael. Hashem called his name Yisrael. And Hashem said, Nikel Shaddai Perei Ruvei Goyu Kahal Goyim Mimeka. You're going to have a Goy, one nation, Ukahal Goyim, and an assemblage of nations coming out of you, Umolochim et Holotzecho Yetzelo. Remember once, after in a Shabbos B'nai Brak, I heard a question in B'nai Brak, which was a great question. And I don't know if the question was because the stipler's name was Yaakov Yisrael, Yisrael Yaakov, whatever. But why was Avram was told, your name is no more Avram, it's Avraham. Okay? So Avram, you're not allowed to call him Avram. Yaakov, we still call him Yaakov. Sometimes you call him Yaakov, sometimes you call him Yisrael. And there are a lot of Svarim that want to be medayik, each one, why is this time he's called Yaakov? Why not call him Yaakov Yisrael? It was a Hosafa. He was used to be called Yaakov, and now he got an extra name, Yisrael. So why not call him Yaakov Yisrael? It's mashma that it's mutually exclusive. It's either Yaakov or it's Yisrael. Why? It's a Hosafa. You know, it's an upgrade. You got to name Yisrael. But the Torah said that your name of Yaakov still remains. Okay. So like today, when we change somebody's name, when we add a name to somebody, we don't forget about the first name. That's for sure. We still call him the first name, and we call him the second name. So why not over here? Why not call him Yaakov Yisrael? And you don't find anywhere where he's called Yaakov Yisrael. It's either Yaakov or Yisrael. Why is that? Maybe you could say as follows. Rashi says, what is this Goy Ukahal Goyim that is going to come out from you, Yisroel? Who is it? Goy is Binyamin. She was already pregnant. Rava was already pregnant with Binyamin. He's going to be born. That's one Goy that's going to come out of you, Yisroel. Second one is Menashe ve'Ephraim she'asidim lotzeis mi Yosef. Menashe and Ephraim that are going to come out of Yosef, that's the Goy, that's the Kahal Goyim that is going to come from you. And who are the Melachim? So it's discussed over here, Shaul and Mishpochus, etc. You see from this a tremendous Kiddush. And I got it from my Rebbe. The Pshat is as follows. There are two Tsuros, or what we call in English, configurations of Bnei Yisrael. One of them is Yaakov, and one of them is Yisrael. And they're not put together. They're never put together. Let me give you examples. The Klal Yisrael of Yaakov has 12 Shvatim. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisrael, Zvon, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, V'Asher, Yosef, and Binyamin. Levi and Yosef are two of them. Where do you find this? On the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol, and the Avnei Choshen, where you had 12 stones for each Shevet. And who were the 12 Shvatim? Levi and Yosef. Ephraim and Menashe? No. Levi and Yosef. Where else do you find this? By the Brachos and Klolos on Har Grisim and Har Evel. Six were over there, six were over there. The Levium were in the middle, screaming out the Brachos and the Klolos. Who are the 12? Ephraim and Menashe? No. Levi and Yosef. That's called Yaakov. Then there's a tzura or configuration called Yisrael. Levi and Yosef step aside. Ephraim and Menashe fill the bill. Where do you find this? Chiluk Ha'aretz. When the land was appropriated of Eretz Yisrael to the Shvatim, Levi and Yosef didn't receive anything. Ephraim and Menashe. When the Shvatim lived around the Mishkan, meaning that the Mishkan was in the middle with the Kohanim and Levim, and around were 12 Shvatim. Levi and Yosef? No. Ephraim and Menashe. So you see that there's two configurations. There's something called Yaakov, which includes Levi and Yosef, and there's something called Yisrael, where they're taken out, and you insert Ephraim and Menashe. The Torah says that. Matovu olecha Yaakov, Mishkan Osecha, Yisrael. There's two things. There's two tzuros of Klal Yisrael. One is the tzura of Yaakov, one is the tzura of Yisrael. One has Ephraim and Menashe, and one has Levi and Yosef. Why these are used by these happenings and these are used by another happenings? I hope in Mir Hashem one day they give a different share on that. But we do see that there are two tzuros in Klal Yisrael. I'll show you a beautiful thing in Parshas Vayechi. The brachos are divided into two. First, Ephraim and Menashe receive brachos, Ruvein and Shimon Yuli. And then there's a different gathering when Yaakov gathers his children and he gives brachos. Over there, who get the brachos? Levi and Yosef. But if you look at the language, it's mamish beautiful. It says, by the brachos of Ephraim and Menashe, Vayar Yisrael es b'nei Yosef. V'nei Yisrael. V'yomer Yisrael lo Yosef. It's constantly Yisrael. V'yishlach Yisrael es yamino, and he put it on Ephraim and Menashe, and he blessed them, Hamal Chagoels Mikoro, etc. That was the brachas on Ephraim and Menashe, because that's Yisrael. That's the tzura of Yisrael. Ephraim and Menashe fill up the void of Yosef and Levi. When it comes to the brachos of the 12 Shvatim in Parshas Vayechi, Vayikra Yaakov, as he comes to Vishimu b'nei Yaakov, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, all those, which includes Yosef and Levi, over there the Russian is Yaakov. Because who makes Yisrael? Ephraim and Menashe to come out from Yosef. Who makes Yaakov? That configuration, which is a tzura. It's definitely a tzura. By the Avnei Choshen, by the brachas and hagrizah, that's Yaakov. Okay, so we have two things: Matov Olecha Yaakov and Mishkan Osecha Yisrael. Two different suros of Klal Yisrael used at different times. What's the nafkamina? Nafkamina is not only do you insert Ephraim Menashe. Rather than that, the nafkamina is what is the status of Bilha and Zilpah. Rachel and Leah are definitely wives of Yaakov. But all along, until this parsha, they were either called Shvachos, by the story of Esau, by the story of Gemini Shvachos, or at most, by the story of when Reuven messes up the bed, they're called Pilegish. And Pilegish means a Palig Isha, a half an Isha. That's why you also in Numbers, remember the Numbers? This one had 32 Leah, and how much did the Pilegish have? 16. Rachel had 14 come out of her, and how much did the Pilegish have? 7. It's Chatzi Yisha. That's Rav Tzadok and others speak about that Indian. But until today, they were not called wives. They were called either Shvachos or at most, Pilegish. Comes along this pasuk in the beginning of our parsha, and it says that Yosef, for who Nar is b'nei Bilav is b'nei Zilpa, Neshei Aviv. Suddenly they're called Noshim. Because according to the new tzura of Yisrael, they're going to be called Noshim. And that's why it says, "V'Yisrael ahavet Yosef mikol banav." We'll get now into that. is a new chalois din called Yisrael, which is a different surah than the surah of Yaakov, but Yaakov's surah also remains. Okay? This all starts from the story of Dina. And that's why Dina's in the Torah. You had a problem that Shechem did terrible things to Dina. And it says Yaakov heard about it, he was upset. And then but he waited until the children came home. And then the children came home, and they used the following language. What? Ki nevogo oso bi Yisrael, lishkav et beit Yaakov, et bat Yaakov. A terrible nevogo, a terrible mishap has happened to Yisrael. First time Yisrael is used. Why Yisrael? It should have said, lishkav et beit Yaakov, rak Yaakov. What's this Yisrael business? The answer is that a few psukim before that was when the Malach of Esav, the Sar Shel Esav, called Yaakov for the first time, saying, your name is going to be Yisrael. And therefore the children felt that there was something of Yisrael that was chal already. If there's an upgrade in a name, that means there's something about Yisrael. It's not the halachas, the Tariyat Mitzvahs yet, but there is something of a nation, Yisrael, that has been found in them. That's what happened. And they have to prove something in order to be worthy of that. After you prove it, Hashem will give the, what we call Makeh B'Patish, the final blow. Yes, your name is Yisrael. Therefore, what did they do? They wiped out the whole city of Shechem to show that we are a nation of Kedusha and Tahara. And you started up by doing Dover Hefker. Hachizona Yaseh Tachoseinu. So Yaakov said, hey, what are you guys doing to me? It's making a Pikuach Nefesh. They answered, what Pikuach Nefesh? This is Chol Hashem. We have a Shem Yisrael already. Once we have a Shem Yisrael, then it's Chol Hashem the other way. Chas v'Shalom that such a thing should happen. To God's nation, that's what should happen. That was the fight between Yaakov and his brothers, the dialogue. And Yaakov doesn't answer. Mashmi's mother. There was something of Yisrael that took place at that time. We are now a nation, and a nation that's based on Kiddush and Tahara, and therefore you don't start off with our daughter. It's Chol Hashem. Right after that, after they proved that they care about this new name of Yisrael. So Hashem called, officially called Yaakov Yisrael. But he said, what did he say in that? We're not finished yet. Yisrael is not finished yet. Ephraim and Menashe that come out of Yosef first have to be born. Once you'll have that, then you'll have the full configuration of Yaakov and Yisrael. So what are we waiting for? That's the last four parshiyos of Bereishis. We're waiting for Ephraim and Menashe, who are represented by Yosef, to be born and to make this new tzura of Kal Yisrael. That, Rabbi Yisai, is the machlokes of the brothers and Yosef. Yosef and Yaakov together felt that we have to make this new tzura before we're finished. We're not yet Kal Yisrael. We will gain the name of Kal Yisrael when we will have Ephraim and Menashe. And until then, we are only Yaakov, which is not the finish. And they felt, no, that is the finish. The Yud Bei Shvatim, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Levi, and Yosef, that is the finish. There's no other tzura. This is the tzura of Klal Yisrael. What did Yosef do? He dreamt dreams to show that they were right. Sort of a nevuah dream. I'm not getting into dreams now, but it's a big, big parsha over here that you have to study. Somewhat of a nevuah. And what did he dream? That I, Yosef, will formulate the future of Kal Yisrael. And that's why he took him to the forefront. And he pushed, and he worked for it, that no, we're not finished yet. Until Ephraim and Menashe come out, we're not finished. Rashi says, Bikesh Yaakov Reshev B'Shalva. You remember that, Rashi? He wanted to live in peace. Retired. Nice life. Kofatz Olav Roigzo Shel Yosef. Came upon him the anger of Yosef. What do you mean you want to live? You're Yaakov Avinu. You want to live like a retiree, not to have any problems in life. You have to work your whole life to get to what you want. Because Yaakov Reshev B'Shalva. Yaakov thought, I'm finished now. B'nai Yisrael has been formed. That's what Hashem gave me the name Yisrael. So I finished my actions in life. I'm now going to become a private person. I'm not anymore Yisrael. I'm not anymore, you know, that I have to formulate the nation. Comes along Rozo Shel Yosef and reforms him. No. Until Ephraim and Menashe are born, your work is not finished. And therefore you have to go through all types of trials and tribulations and the story of Yosef and his brothers and going down to Mitzrayim and everything else. Only then will the finish of Kal Yisrael take place. Because then we'll have the new Tzura, not only the Tzura of Yaakov, but we'll have the Tzura of Yisrael as well. And these are the parshios that we read now. And who was taken as the architect of making that new Tzura? That was Yosef. And therefore he was the one that befriended B'nai Bilhah, B'nai Zilpah. Because until then they had a status of Shvachos, B'nai Shvachos. He realized that with the new formulation of Yisrael, they're all going to be equal. They're Neshei Aviv. They're not Shivchos Aviv anymore. They're Neshei Aviv. Since they're Neshei Aviv, then you got to treat them well. That's why he took to that battle, because he felt that he was the architect of this new thing called Yisrael. Why was he the Ben Zekunim? Because he was the last of the children of Yisrael. He's not the last of the children of Yaakov. The last of the children of Yaakov is Binyamin. But since he represents Menashe and Ephraim, and that's why Rashi says over there, Menashe and Ephraim, Hayotzim min Yosef, that come out from Yosef, therefore he really is the last child of Yisrael. In order to cement that, he taught him Torah. What does Chazal say about he who teaches his friend's son Torah, ki'ilu yoldu? It's as if you gave birth to him. In order that should be somewhat of a later as well, a birth, therefore he taught him Torah. And therefore Yosef is the last son, the new son, the son born after Binyamin to Yisrael, not to Yaakov, because in the ways of Yaakov, Binyamin was the youngest. But in Yisrael, he was the youngest. And therefore, as a result of that, he was his Ben Zekunim. Why did he give him a Ksonas Pasim? Malchus, Rabbi said. He was the Melech, he was the architect, the one that's going to bring to the formation of Yisrael. Therefore, he gave him a Ksonas Pasim. Why did he comb his hair? Because Melech B'yofyav Techazena. A Melech is supposed to look kempt at all times. Always supposed to look good. Therefore, he felt, ooh, I'm becoming a Melech. I'm the orchestrator of this new thing called Yisrael, of Kal Yisrael, so I have to look good. He wasn't a teenager, spoiled teenager, just putting the comb in the back pocket and combing his hair. No, that wasn't him. What he did was feeling that he was a Melech. Let's see the two dreams. What are the two dreams? And one offsets the other. The first dream is thing that brought Hamaloch Timloch Oleinu. 11 sheaves bowing down to the biggest one, which is him. That means he's the Melech over them. What is the second one? He's not one of them. You have the sun, the moon, the 11 stars, big things, bowing down to him. Why are they bowing down to him? But he's not one of them. The answer is he's going to be the helper, the one that will help for them to exist, to keep their existence. The first one is Malchus. Malchus, they hated him for that. You're going to be a Melech over us? What do you mean Melech? We're B'nai Yaakov. We have already, we're finished with B'nai Yisrael. Who are you to be Melech over us? The second dream, however, proved that no, you're not a Melech. I'm going to be a Mishnah Melech, second in command. I'm going to help you. And that's why they didn't hate him for that. They were jealous. Why should he be and not us? But it was only jealousy. It wasn't sin anymore. It's a different type of a thing. And that's really what happened to Yosef. What happens to Yosef? He's sold as a slave. I thought he was Chayav Misa. What's going on here? It's Chayav Misa. How do you... Because an Eved can't become a Melech. All they wanted to do was do not let him become a Melech. The fact that he'll orchestrate Klal Yisrael, okay, that's our Machoikas. I hope that we'll be successful. But they didn't want to let him be a Melech at any cost. By selling him as an Eved, he's never going to be a Melech. He's going to be Shemi Lamelech, the viceroy, but he's not going to be the Melech. So they accomplished... Who is the one that gave that Eitzah? Yehuda. And what happens to Yehuda in the formation of Kal Yisrael? He's the Melech. Since he was involved, since he set things straight by making Yosef into an Eved, which will make him not be able to come to the Melech, so he helped also as far as Kal Yisrael is concerned, he's the one that becomes a Melech. It's just a puzzle that all the parts, mamish, fit like anything. Why did he make his brothers submissive in the next 2.5 parshiyos? It doesn't make sense. It's Yosef HaTzadik. The answer is because they held to their own that B'nai Yaakov is B'nai Yisrael. That's the final formation of Kal Yisrael. The only way that he would get them to become submissive to him and realize that no, there's Yaakov and there's Yisrael as well, is only if he's going to make them also sort of bow down to him, come on to him, realize that he's their helper in order to make the existence of the future in Klal Yisrael. That's why he makes them crazy until finally they bow down, and then there's a realization, ah, we accept what you say, Yosef, that there is a new formation called Klal Yisrael. In fact, the main one of them, Yehuda, will become the Melech, and that's the Haftarah in Parshas Vayigash. How does the Torah end in Sefer Bereishis? Nebuch the Levaya of Yaakov. How did they stand around the bear? Does anybody remember what Rashi says? Exactly like they stood in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, around, was it Yosef and Levi, or was it Ephraim and Manasseh? Trust me, Rav Isa, you'll look at it. On the west flank was Ephraim, Manasseh, and Ephraim. And so Sefer Bereishis ends with the formation of Klal Yisrael that Yaakov finally accomplished, not throughout his lifetime, with his death. And the last, I don't know how many years, 17 years of his life, that's what he was fighting for. That there shouldn't be only Yaakov, but there should be Yisrael. And the brothers felt, Yaakov is Yisrael. That's the formation of Klal Yisrael. And who won at the end? Yaakov Avinu and Yosef. Who orchestrated all of this? Yosef. Did he become the Melech of Klal Yisrael? No, because the second dream said, you're not going to be a Melech. You're going to be a helper to Klal Yisrael, that there should be a sun and a moon and a Chad Esrei Kechavim. But are you the Melech over us, like you thought in your first dream? No. That's why that second dream is critical, and that's why they had to sell him as an effort. Why do we have the Asura Haruge Malchus, which is Esav? Esav killed the Asura Haruge Malchus. Why? Why Dafka? Because of Mechiras Yosef? And why is Yosef the Lahava, the flame, the only thing that defeats Esav? Because what defeats Esav is not Beis Yaakov only. Because Beis Yaakov is not the finality of Klal Yisrael. You also have to come on to what Yosef provided, which is the name Yisrael, that other tzura called Yisrael. So that's why V'hoya Beis Yaakov Le'esh, U Beis Yosef Le'hova. Together, the two tzuros of Yaakov, Matov Olecha Yaakov, and Mishkan Osech Yisrael, then you make the cash of Esav burn and be destroyed totally. But without Yosef, you only have one surah, and that's not the Kiyum of Klal Yisrael. The Kiyum of Klal Yisrael is not Yaakov Yisrael, it's not Yaakov, it's not Yisrael, but it's Yaakov and Yisrael. And that's what Yaakov and Yosef were out to prove the last three parshiyos of the Torah. Make the brothers submissive, because they're wrong. Make them bow down to Yosef, that means a realization that we have a new tzur in Klal Yisrael. And that's how Sefer Bereishis ends off. And that's why Esav, which is the Romans, that killed out the 10 Gedolei Yisrael, because of Mechiras Yosef, because the brother sold Yosef, meaning that there shouldn't be a Kiyum to Klal Yisrael, as a result of that, because of that terrible sin that they did, and they sold him as an Eved then, etc., because of that, the Asara Hamugri Malchus, which represent Yisrael, Klal Yisrael, are killed. I asked one more question. What was the question? Other question? What is the kesher between the end of Vayishchak and Vayeshev? Their answer is the end of Vayishchak are the eight kings of Esav. And the beginning of Vayeshev is a story of Yosef. No, the story of Yosef is to form Yisrael, and Memegah will have a Malchus of Yehuda. So Memegah, there is a direct kesher. We finished with the Melachim of Esav. Now we're starting how we're going to get a Melech for Klal Yisrael. Who worked behind the scenes? Yosef. What did he do? He made the brothers of the Shvachos into regular brothers. And now with that new formation of Ephraim and Manasseh, 12 Shvatim. And as a result of that, we have the Koach to defeat the eight kings of Esav. That is the end of the Torah over here of Bereishis. Bereishis is not Sipurei Tzadikim. I've said it many, many times. It's stories of the formation of Klal Yisrael. And these parshiyos prove that not only is there a formation of Klal Yisrael, Yaakov, but there's also a formation of Klal Yisrael of Ephraim Menashe, which means Yisroel. And each one works at a different stage. On the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol, and Saviv Tahar Grizim Harevo, that was Yosef and Levi. The other one, Misaviv Rabishkan, that was Ephraim and Menashe. You have to know how to fit in each one, so I have another 2 weeks left to Meretz Hashem. But at least we got a new Yisoid. You won't find it in any Sefer, trust me. The Yisoid of this parasha, Parshas Vayeshev teaches you that there's a new formation. It works after the story of Dina, where Yisrael was chal, but Yisrael is not going to be finished until Perek Lamed Hey Yud, where it says over there, Kahal Goyim Yetzeyu, that there's going to be Ephraim and Manasseh coming out of Yosef. And that's why Yosef worked so hard, and that's why he was known as the Mishnah Lemelech. Have a good job. See you for day break. All right. You coming with me?
Yeah, if it's possible.